Welcome back to Apollo City Comics, or Anything and Everything Comic Book Podcast. I'm Brandon Blocksdorf.
I'm Alex Batts.
Dude, that timing on that video was just so funny right now.
Yeah, I know. It's something. We're having a good time.
It was freaking awesome. Backstage shenanigans into front stage shenanigans. Maybe that's how we release episodes on Patreon. You guys get to see the full recording of the banter before stage and after the show. That'd be fun. You know who does that? Ryan Dose from Across the Bifrost. You guys should go support his Patreon. And speaking of Patreons, Alex, we have a Patreon.
We do indeed have a Patreon. So we have a couple different tiers. Our $1 tier gets you access to our Discord and our book club, because we want everyone to get those super sick book club episodes. We just recorded another one. It was super fun. So that'll get that. And then our $5 tier, next step up, will get you access to, of course, everything that came before, as well as our late night episodes, which we're doing one of those after this. And so that'll get you your $5 tier. Our $15 tier includes behind the scenes content. So this is looks at the comics we're working on and stuff like that, as well as digital copies of our books whenever they release. And then our final big up there tier is our $40 tier. And that is where you can hire us as an editor. If you have a project that you're working on, single issue, one shot, something like that, that you would like some help on, or you need an editor on, you can, you know, go to that tier and you can have one of us work with you on your book, on your project, and help bring that to life. So yeah, we've got a couple different options ranging all the way from $1 to $40. So, you know, if you want to support the show, help us out, definitely go check out the Patreon, get some awesome content, and help keep the show running. So yeah,
it makes a difference. Every little amount and every Patreon member really makes a difference. In fact, we have a new Patreon member on this month that just joined at our $5 tier, and it just like blew our minds that we keep on getting people jumping on and trying to get this content and trying to support the show. And we really try to show it as well. And it's not going towards us. It's not going towards any, like, you know, expensive lunches or any of our traveling or anything.
Right back into the show.
Right back into the show, because it costs a lot apparently to do podcasting. Just to stream it. That's like it. Just to like host it and sit here.
Yeah, it's just the hosting fees and like stuff. It's like, all right, man. I mean, I get it, I guess, but also not really. Just let me post my podcast in peace, bro. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're just, it's free for everyone at the long run. But hey, this is what we do it for. But dude, it is one of those episodes that, like, it's kind of a game changer episode for me. You know what I mean? Like, we've been on this upward trajectory with Wicked and Divine, and as we were waiting for other books to come in, you know, book 4 and book 5 to come into the mail, I was like, dude, okay, I would like to amend.
As you were waiting for books 4 as and book I 5 was to waiting, come in the mail, I have two copies on my shelf behind me, which is like it
two,
to be
you have
no.
Two versions of it, probably. Yeah, it's it's one of those things where you're just like, you know what? I have this book called Die by Kieran that has just been sitting here just as long as Wickdiv has been sitting here. Why don't we just take a peek into it? It's like 5 issues, easy episode. Just to preface how I feel about volume 1 of Die, if you go and make me buy the whole fucking series as soon as I finish reading the first volume, you won. You know, the hardcover is on its way, and I got the hardcover. Like, I was hyped.
Like, repurchased the first trade, essentially.
Yeah, you know, like, I got the whole collected. Man, I might raffle this off or some shit so that you all can enjoy it, to be honest. That might be kind of fun.
That'd be cool.
It is. Die is beautiful. Alex, have you ever played Dungeons & Dragons before in your life?
So I have not. I really want to. I actually will hopefully start very soon, I'm sure, in part because of this book, but also, so Baldur's Gate 3 will be coming out for PS5 very soon. And so, like, that's been on my radar and I've wanted to start. And I've also literally had the D&D starter kit in my closet in my office for, like, a year and a half at this point now,
as
probably.
We all do when we buy it and we never touch it for like ever.
I know, right? I bought it and I bought 2 sets of Die and I just haven't read it. But the other day I actually went through and I like scanned all of the pages onto my like GoodNotes app on my iPad so I can go through and read the starter like guide and actually really like try to dive into it, because I want to get fully into it so I can start playing Baldur's Gate 3. But then also because this volume kicked so much ass and I'm like, oh man, I really want to get full like headlong into RPG games, and so I want to get into D&D, and then also I would like to play the Die game because I know that that's a thing that like exists. And so that would be sick too. But yeah, so to answer your question, I have not played D&D, but have very strong like interest in it and would like to get very involved. But yeah.
I have a great idea, but and we'll bring it up after the show. I think I know what your idea is,
but we were definitely going to talk about this. But so you have played D&D before?
Yeah. I have a group of friends I could even network you with and get you to play online and shit. I have my neighbor at my old apartment. One day I came home. We never talked. We always just said like, "Hey, what's going on?" And we saw our dogs would, you know, we'd walk our dogs. And like, "Hey, what's up, dude?"
I have a neighbor across the street. I don't even know his name, but I'm just like, yeah. He's chill.
Yeah, super chill. I was like, yeah, good guy to have next door, I guess. You know, like seems nice. Yeah. And then one day he was just like doing something with a turkey outside where he had to like, I don't know, put it into this metal thing and it was cooking and whatnot. And he had all these D&D books next to him. And I was like, oh, hey, dude, do you fucking play D&D? He's like, yeah, he's a dungeon master. That's like what he does. Like on the side, outside of work, is just play D&D with a whole bunch of friends. And he runs all these games and he's dungeon master for a whole bunch of stuff. And he was like, dude, like if you ever want to join, let me know. And I played D&D for like 6 to 8 months, like every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. practically. And just went fucking hard. And dude, fucking... You will play, you know, you play on a website. It's like Roll20 and it integrates with this map website so you can see where your characters are and what's going on and when other, you know, characters drop in and the villains and everything. So you know where to step and stuff like that, you know? And it's really fun. It's really cool. You can do it online and talk over Discord.
That's so sick.
And dude, like one of my characters died at like the fucking edge of time battling for the fate of the universe. It just wound up that way. And then like I sacrificed myself and then it fucking saved everybody. It was the most epic shit ever.
That's so cool.
Dude, like it was so fucking cool. Sometimes it's real tiring and draining. You have to be really hyped up because you're going for 4 hours and shit. I used to clean my apartment and just like mute my sound and just like vacuum and shit while we played.
That's so funny.
But it was super fun. I really miss it. I only broke away from it because I had to really focus on making comics at the time. And so I stopped, and that's when I thought I had some projects underway that didn't end up pulling through. But hey, it led me down a road, and now we have comics being made right around here.
Yeah, we do.
But dude, it's D&D is really fun. And that's like... when you watch Stranger Things and stuff like that, like it really is like a cool, passionate way to do stuff. And I would love to get like a gang back together and try to figure out a schedule to play and shit. Like it's one of the coolest things in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll make that happen because I very much am trying to get very into D&D, even though I definitely do not have the time, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, same here. But you know what? We'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do some live D&D stuff with like friends and shit. We'll make a whole blast out of it with Apollo.
Yeah, we'll make it a work thing that's like not work.
Yeah, exactly. Like I do everything else with Apollo. You know what I mean?
That's, we're like, I need to make time for this. I'll just like roll it into the other stuff that I'm doing.
If I put it under this banner, it has importance now. Like, apparently it has to happen. If I announce it, it will come. Dude, but yeah, what tripped me out about this book is that it doesn't start the way you expect it. I kind of felt like it would start. My predictions for this was like, oh, okay, you have a bunch of kids who are playing D&D and they get sucked into this like Jumanji like universe. And now they're adults playing their characters and shit. When like, as a matter of fucking fact, no. The cool thing about this book, like quick little introduction overview, is that these kids went over to play D&D one night. And the main guy, Simon, or was it Simon, right? I forgot his name. We suck at names. That's why Solomon. I try not to talk about it. Solomon. I was right about the S.
Just read Solomon. Read the back thing. Just the first,
there we go. Fucking. Oh, dude, I was right. I was pretty much along the same things. This is way more professional. In the 90s, 6 teenagers disappeared into a fantasy role-playing game. Only 5 returned. Nearly 30 years later, the broken adults dragged back to discover the game isn't finished with them yet. And that's when they go back. And so they get sucked back into this game when they're in their 40s. They all have lives. Speaking of our last few episodes from Cavalier and Clay to The Last Wicked and Divine, imagine your life and all the regular bullshit you dive into. And now you're sucked into a D&D game in your 40s. Dude, that's wild. You have a lot going on in your regular life and you're just pulled away and disappear from reality into like this fantasy game. And what basically ends up happening is that they have to chase down their friend and find a way to defeat him because he is now the Grandmaster. And they need to all wish the same wish to go home. They all need to want to go home so they could go home together. And they end up finding, of course, their friend Solomon through a series of adventures and even Lord of the Rings references where you have Frodo.
I mean, Tolkien is straight up in the book. Like, that was him.
Yes. Yeah, like, right? That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah,
no, Kieran talks about it in the essays in the back matter that, like, that is straight up Tolkien. Like, he literally just wanted to bring, like, the trenches of war to Hobbit Town and, like, have that be the Tolkien issue. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to cry right now.
I love that. That's too freaking cool. Yeah, man, they're going through that and then defeating your friend, like, to, like, get out of the game and finding your escape and being able to go home. But then some people are like, I don't know. I'm in my 40s. Shit kind of sucks. Yeah. I was like, I think I want to stay here. Yeah. And honestly, when that happened, I was like, hey, I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah, dude, they were like, my life kind of blows, actually, and this is literally a fantasy. Like, I think I'm going to chill here, actually. And, like, yeah, I mean, that I can definitely see the, and it's such an interesting way and, like, such an organic way to automatically, like, create a very, like, longer term conflict for them besides just, like, they have to, like, find and get to Solomon and defeat him, you know, like, it's,
that's what, like, I was thinking too. Once it was introduced, I was like, oh, so the whole series is going through this guy's stuff and then defeat him in the last volume.
And then, like, no.
Not at all.
Which is awesome.
And that's what I love about Kieran. And he did that to us at the end of Wicked Divine Volume 1 and at the end of Volume 2, where you think you know what's going on. And then he's just like, nope, that is going to happen for sure. But that ain't it. Like, that's not the end of the story. That's just part.
Literally, the fifth issue is titled Premise Rejection. Like, that the whole, like, concept is that it's, like, rejecting the, like, initial premise of it. And, like, and the fact that, and I'm going to keep ripping what some stuff that he says in the back matter, but, like, he talks about that more.
Please, talk about the essays back there. Yeah. I feel ashamed I didn't finish reading them.
I'm pretty sure that these originally are, like, posted on Tumblr. I know that's where he did the Wicked and the Divine ones. I don't know if he has a blog now specifically that he would have done these in, because I didn't keep up when they were originally coming out. But they're collected as essays in the back matter of the trade. And so he wrote a couple different ones that were just going over the issue as a whole, like the first issue or like the first couple issues, just kind of like what their main, like, goals were. And then he also did essays talking at length about the character and world building. And because, as we've mentioned already, like, he did make Die as a role playing game that you can play as well. So, like, the game that the characters in the book are in is a real game that he also made the rules to, which is why it is such a, like, consistent and cohesive thing when you're reading it, which is awesome. But yeah, he talks about in making both the story and the game, that in, like, a D&D party, you have people, or, like, an RPG party, because, you know, D&D is not the only RPG, you have people that are there that reject the premise of, like, being there and being in the party, that, like, their whole thing is like, oh no. And so, like, he wanted that to be a thing that's baked into the game and the story, and that, like, it's something that the characters are also going through and experiencing it, and it's a, like, very integral thing there. But yeah, so that was one of the things. And also just talking about, like, how he structured the, like, first couple issues, how the first one, he really wanted to start it, like, not in the normal way of, like, you think that you're going to kind of go into this fantasy world, like, immediately, but more so making it, like, showing how much their, like, life kind of sucked, like, for all of them before, like, in their current day. It's like, oh, this is kind of shitty, like, and all this feels, like, not great. And so then whenever you get to the fantasy world, it's like, oh, like, this big and bright and all this stuff. But then also, like, he made it a super, like, it's a depressing story and, like, a horror story also, which is really, really interesting. And I think a very fascinating direction to take it. And he gets a lot of character mileage out of that, I think.
I mean, and that's a great thing to point out, especially with the coloration. And when you look at the first issue, how dark and bleak every single page and panel it is, until you see the dice. And it's not until you see the dice that you start to see some color come out. But as they talk through their future and what they're doing and the lives they're living, it's all very, very bleak.
It's just oppressive and claustrophobic and sucks. Like, it's just like, oh, this is not, like, cool. Like, this feels like a very down damn thing.
You wake up in this planet, and dude, look at the reds and oranges and bright blues and whites pouring through, and it's open. It's what you're saying, claustrophobic, but this is such an open area, so much breathing room, and like, just, it's a totally different vibe in this different universe. I love that. That's such a cool thing to admire, which is crazy because I grabbed this book and I took a first glance at it, like a real minor first glance, like maybe opened up a page or two. I'm not even too sure. And I was like, oh, the art doesn't really like appeal to me. I'll get to it eventually. And when I was reading it, I was like, man, this is the most, one of the most beautiful books I have ever fucking seen.
So she did the, not the Tara issue, because that was Tula Lotte, but Stephanie did one of the other Wicked and the Divine issues that we just read, actually. I can't remember which one, though.
I don't remember which one. It's too far for me to reach, but they could dive back into it, because we mentioned all the artists, I think, in the last episode, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she did Tara for one of those. Yeah, she's just phenomenal. Like, it, just absolutely stunning art all across the board. But yeah, there's so much in this that I like really loved. I love a lot in the second issue whenever they get there. So I like, there's this quote, they say, "We play by the old house rules, right? We have no idea how real Dai is, so we have to treat it like it is real. If it's fantasy and we treat it like reality, there's no loss. If it's reality and we treat it like fantasy, we become monsters." Which I really, really love this, because there's a lot of interesting things here about like ethics, morality, and like virtue ethics, and then like habituation, and also even like determining sentience and like personhood in other beings, and like how you should treat things if you don't know whether or not they are sentient, and like how you should morally act, whether or not you think there are repercussions going on. And like, there's just so much there that I love a lot. And the fact that that's something that they like, it's just a line that's thrown in there, but like, it brings so much weight to it. And I also love the fact that like, it gives you a lot of history, and that like, they clearly had to like, they had those discussions before, like they're like, we're playing by the old house rules, right? And like, so just knowing that that had to have been a very intense thing that they had to talk and think about and try to like come up with a way to act in this world, like,
yep,
is very, very, like, I just love that. And it also, it reminds me of the, and I'm blanking, it's Pascal's Wager, which is, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's like an argument in favor of the belief of God. And so it's basically goes like, it's better to believe in God because the like outcomes are like, either he is real and you did believe in him and you get to go to heaven, or he is real and you didn't believe in him and you go to hell, or like, he's not real and you didn't believe in him and like nothing happened, or like, he's not real and you did believe in him and still nothing happened. So like, of those four options, the worst case scenario is like, exponentially, you should do everything you possibly can to avoid that, like, clearly, and like, should go for the like best option.
Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of arguments against Pascal's Wager for a variety of reasons. I don't subscribe to it. Like, I'm not, obviously, but like, it's something that reminded me of this, because it's very much framed in like, hey, like, we have to take, like, if we go by the worst case scenario here, like, we're the worst people ever. Like, we can't do that. And so I,
it's
really
something
loved
you could
it.
Apply to different measures to make it applicable, just like what they did here. And that's the cool,
yeah, exactly,
part,
like,
that.
It's a very, like, it's just taking and like tweaking a little bit, but it's the same general like concept. And it's just, it, yeah, I just love stuff like that.
Using the same concept, changing the argument, basically, you know?
Yeah, but it's just like, and just such interesting questions that like, you have to wrestle with.
Yeah, I love that. And also, that's the thing that keeps some of the players there at the very end, too. They're going by that rule that they made. And we're like, you know, some of the stuff that's going on here is really bad. And like, even what we did, destroyed the city, we got to help out. And if we're going to like live by this rule, we should like live by the rule then.
Yeah.
And
so she's like, this is a humanitarian disaster. Like, we just ruined this. Like, and I'm like, I mean, you probably should help. Like,
and that's what I love about it, too, is that, you know, Karen's really good at like planting seeds and opening doorways. And every issue, this one, I feel like there's so much that could have been, that's like, will be played with throughout the next four volumes. It's only five volumes, too, which is a, like, another really fun thing. It's very digestible. Four? I thought it was five for some reason.
It's just four, because it's four volumes of five issues, because they made it 20 issues.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. Fuck yeah, dude. That's even more digestible at that point. And I mean, even finding out what happened to what's her name's her arm, Angela, I believe her name is Neo.
Yeah,
Neo. Yeah, she was the cyberpunk one. Mm-hmm. And there's, man, mixing that like cyber aspect with like fantasy, I always adored. And you could do cool so shit good. Like that.
Yeah, bringing this up, I love the way that Kieran talked about in the character generation essay too, where he was like, the idea was bringing the like the technology into the fantasy world, not like the fantasy into the technology. And I was like, oh, it's such a like
nice.
I love that level of integration, and I think it works so well here.
Mm-hmm. Then like her colors being like that red like visor and everything, and it going so well with everything else that they use, because that's also like a main color. What's the other girl's name? The one with the white hair.
Ash. So
Ash, yeah.
I would say there. That's one of the things I wanted to like get to, but I'll like that's an issue four thing when it like gets brought up. I know, but mm-hmm. I like when you talk about it. So it's because they get like confronted about that in when they're like in Die, in issue four. So Ash in the game, like in Die, is a woman, but in the real world, they're a man. And yeah. So it's something, but then in the real world, or they has a wife, and then in Die, they were with men in the game. And so in issue four, one of them, so it's Ash in Die, and then Dominic in the real world. But so they kind of, Chuck, I'm pretty sure, which I can't remember. Is it Chuck or is it Charles?
Yeah, Chuck.
Chuck, like, you know, makes a comment and is like, hey, you're a girl here and also only interested in guys here, but like not in the real world. Like, are we ever going to like talk about that? And then Ash like is like, well, if I wanted to talk about it, do you think I'd talk about it with you? And like pressures it off and stuff. But like, I really liked that angle of it, and that angle and Ash's character in particular is very interesting to me. And personally, like, I resonate with a lot because like I very much don't like I'm very comfortable being a like man, and I don't have any like body dysmorphia or anything like of that sort, but literally in every time that I possibly can role play anything, like I will always be the like woman character. Like I've 100% like cool. And most of the characters that I write as well like are women. I think it like I don't know why I'm drawn to that so much, and like that I like feel very comfortable trying to like I don't know. I don't even really know how to like articulate it now. But then also too, like the fact that in the game he is more interested in men there. Like it feels like almost he feels more safe being able to explore that there. But then it's another thing too, where like very much relate, because like I discovered later in my life that like I am bi, and like that's something that like I didn't know for the longest time, but then like did make more sense whenever I was like, oh, okay, like kind of figured that out. And then it's also one of the things where like Kieran's writing is one of the things that sort of helped me understand that too. And so like seeing that more on display in this as well, I was like, just all of that, like whenever it got brought up, I was like, oh yeah, like I feel all of this like 100%. So like that was something that was very, very interesting to me, and like I liked reading.
That's super cool. And I mean, that's stuff like that where that's where like D&D and like these RPG games are really like exciting and beneficial for like people and kids, because they can kind of embrace what they want to be in this realm. You know what I mean? They could kind of find acceptance or find understanding, like you did. And that's one of the coolest part, is finding clarity and understanding through something you're enjoying. And therefore you're not like feeling ashamed or, you know, pushed back by it, because you're like, oh, I get to like fully be who I want to be in this environment.
Yeah.
And like the whole, I now like, understand the, like, things.
Entire point. You're like, that's what I'm here to do. And so like, yeah, that's a very cool thing.
That's super fucking rad. And that's cool that Kieran was smart enough to like play around with characters like that. Cause you know, a lot of my works and everything, especially cause you've edited so much of them. Like I have a lot of like, bi characters or like, you know, different sex and everything. And the thing about it is that I think people like get like, freaked out about how to approach those characters. Like, as like, you know, not being, you know, a different them. Gender
yeah.
or them or at all in general. But it's just like, you just approach them as being fucking human.
They're just a person. Yeah. They're just another. It's literally just like, well, some people like horror movies and some people don't. Like, how does, you know, someone being a huge, like, sports fan impact their character as opposed to like, you know, being a whatever. Like, and like, that's not to like, they're not the same thing, obviously. But like, it's one of those things where like, you can't, obviously, you can't try to overthink it. And it's one of those things, though, where it is, of course, important to get to try to get input from people that do have that experience, if you can. Mm-hmm. Like, be like, hey, if you know someone that is, you know, like bi or lesbian or, you know, is a trans, like has experienced a trans experience or whatever the case may be, to take it to them and be like, hey, what are your thoughts on this? That's obviously like a good thing to do. But like, as you were saying, it's one of those things where like, I think both of us would agree, and like being writers, like I don't think that you should only be able to write the experience that you know, because then it's like, yeah, well, that's incredibly limiting. I can't write anything now, like, because yeah, it's like, oh, well, I haven't, you know, robbed a bank or like been a superhero or done, you know, whatever thing, but like, I would like to write those stories. So like, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, there's definitely an amount of like sensitivity and like research, and also like just listening whenever you like might have been like, oh, okay, like I see where this might have been better displayed or better represented this way as opposed to like how, or like, you know, whatever thing. But yeah, it's definitely something where like, they're just people, dude. Like, there's no, yeah, you know, it's yeah, like they're all just also a person that's like gone around and like you know, has their couple meals a day and like goes to sleep and then, you know, has whatever job that they probably
bullshit and drama and yeah, they hurt the same the way we hurt, and they're also like love stuck the in same traffic way we love. Yeah, like all of that's exactly the same. So have fun, you know what I mean? And that's what people, so it trips me out about people and how they could like just discriminate in general about anything. It's like, they bills suck for them too, you know what I mean? Groceries yeah, are just as expensive. Like, yeah, yeah, fucking.
Like, they're also, and that's what's cool about,
yeah, fucking, exactly, dude. And that's what's cool about books like these that like really give you a chance to see that, and they demonstrate it. You know what I mean? Like reading a book like Die, you know, if for someone younger, or someone's trying to figure things out, and they make that connection being like, oh, but this character was like this here and got to be this, like, that's okay. Like, find that acceptance, find that, like, you know, love with yourself, find a way to like, you know, understand and explore and know what's right for you, you know? And that's what you can do with some of these make believe type of stories and shit. Because that's kind of, in a sense, strong, you know, I feel like strongly in a way, like it's what they're designed for. And if you could be a fucking orc or an elf or another thing, why the fuck not? You know what I mean? 100%. Like, have fun with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. That's like 100% my MO. I'm like, oh, that would be the best. So yeah, why would I not like imagine trying to be that or like being able to yeah, be that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so one of the other quotes that's from issue 3 that I really liked, which was the Tolkien issue, like the war mm-hmm, one, it was the like one of the final quotes where it says, it'll be what over a heavy by spring
issue too.
Oh dude, it was so good. It was so good. But he goes, it'll be over by spring, they said, but spring never comes. And like, Jesus Christ. And then, so that was from, you know, one of the like the elf character who was dying, and then that was his letter to his wife that he knew he would never see again, by the way. And then there was I can't remember actually who says it now, but one of the members of the party says, where would we have been if we were 16 in 1914? Who volunteers to come to a dungeon? Better people than us? And I was like, oh, that.
Oh, dude, I love that one.
Yeah,
dude,
it was so good. And it's just such a fair, like, I can't imagine. The fact that we had world wars, I mean, the fact that war is still a thing is just absolutely, humans are the dumbest. But, like, I cannot imagine being in that situation. Like, it's incomprehensible to me, honestly. So that issue, I think, explored that really well. And then the last thing that I definitely wanted to touch on was the Eternal Prussia stuff that, like, I don't know how much you were, like, interested in that or, like, that section of it, but the fact that it's an area that's apparently of pure math is very interesting to me. Because, like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, philosophical stuff there, and then also, like, people treating, like, math as, like, a god, essentially. But then I also love that Angela is able to manipulate it by giving it a logic, like, by telling it a logical proof. And so then it's like, well, this is the fact of the universe, and so it has to do that, which is just, like, incredible. So I loved that a lot as well. So the whole Eternal Prussia thing is really interesting because it says a lot about, like, possibly the metaphysics of the universe as well, because, like, it said that before everything there existed the realm of, like, pure math, which is very interesting. on a metaphysical level about like how this whole thing works and like gets into the, you know, whether or not it is a real thing, which like Angela lost her arm, so I feel like it probably is. And then
yeah,
also,
you know
what with what we learned about the Fallen as well, is very interesting.
Oh, dude, I love that. Yeah, so the internal pressure one, that was something I was reading, and that was another thing. I got to it, and I was like, Alex is going to fucking love this part. I love how you just, like, brought, like, segued right into that. Dude, yeah, that whole issue five, the way things were broken down through that whole part, I think that's where that internal pressure is. Or is that issue four? Was it issue four?
It was issue five.
Okay, it was issue five. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. That whole thing, even how they segue through those worlds and how much you can explore, that's what I love about these fantastic type of universes and games, is like the depth of the areas that you get to explore and go into. It's not just like one flavor ever.
They do it in two pages. It's two pages on Eternal Prussia where like it talks about it, and then the end is, you know, her giving it the proof, and then the next page is her like returning and being like, oh, well, they're about to be attacking, like, because, you know, that's what, you know, she wanted them to do. But yeah, it just like packs in so much about it in like no time at all, and gives you just so much history. And again, just so many very interesting questions if you choose to really like follow that thread all the way down, which I love a lot.
And one of my favorite parts in this issue, because it reminded me of certain D&D moments where this like just would fucking come in handy. The one like little power that you fucking overlook and you probably never use, but when she stabs Ash, she goes, "I'm never unarmed. Death touch. Don't be too impressed. It's basically a dagger with an even shorter range. The only plus is that people can never take it off of me, but it does the job." And I'm just like, there's always that moment sometimes when you're just like stranded and you forget you have this one ability or one move and it could fucking just save your ass. And that being the killing blow, I thought was just like cherry on the top. And that's where they go into like deciding, hey, let's go back. And some of them, you know, fucking don't want to. But then the Fallen aspect happens right after that. And that's what really got my attention, because that looked fucking wild.
Yeah, so the deal with the Fallen is that essentially the Fallen are players that have died in Die. And apparently, Solomon says that if they kill the players, they can live again. And so that's the whole, like, thing there, which is just, again, there are so many implications baked into that with all of that, because they've been just straight, because the whole part of the whole thing that they say at the beginning is that they exist to just be like okay things to kill, is like what the Fallen are, and like they might have been people or like were people, and so that just throws a whole lot more into that. So yeah, that's not great.
It's a lot more after them than they ever realized too. I'm so hyped to read the next volumes, dude. I'm so excited. Super, super excited. This was like a breath of fresh air. I thought it was just super like a smooth read. And I even started rereading issue one after I read all the five issues the night before, just to like really be like, okay, I want to grasp this and make sure I get it all. And it was so much more impactful the second time, just knowing what's going to happen. It's one of those where it's good to know what's happened, because now you're like, oh, fuck, you don't even know yet. Like
the whole time we've been going through Wicked and Divine, I'm just like, so
I know. And we'll be jumping back on that on volume four pretty soon too. We have a whole bunch of cool stuff lined up, comic book wise. We have Black Hammer, more Wicked and Divine, the next chapter of Miracle Man, Akira's coming up, and whatever commentaries that fall in between all that while we record.
Yeah, tons of stuff. Tons of very exciting stuff. But yeah, I love this. I love that we've transitioned into half of our content currently being Kieran Gillen focused. I am all about that.
Yeah. So I've always been a big fan of his, so it's really cool finally being able to really dive into his stuff, and it being so accessible at the moment too. And I mean, WicDev, we only have like, there's what, 9 volumes, right? Okay, so I have 5-6
more.
Yeah, fuck yeah, we have a lot of that. And you know, keep an eye out for volume 2 of Die, because we will definitely
We'll be doing
that as well.
Yeah,
hell yeah. Well, Alex, this was a good duo take, and thanks for hanging.
Hell yeah.